Take your bulletins. There on the inside is the insert. What I really like is take your notes. Be free to take your notes. But if you would please put down on that sheet the scriptures that we're going to use. Because you're going to need these. And then I'm going to ask that you take that insert and put it in your Bible and leave it there. Because there is coming a day when you will pull that sheet out and then you'll have the verses right in front of you. You won't be thinking, oh, I know that he gave that and I'm just trying to think of where. I'll just call him and have him give it to me. Instead of that, you have it. Put it in your Bible. The title of the sermon is, How Should a Christian Respond to Clobber Scriptures? Now, I don't know how you look at it, but that's a really good title. How should a Christian respond to clobber scriptures? Most of us grew up around here somewhere, and most of us had parents that really enjoyed correcting us. They seemed to like it. And when I was growing up, there was a phrase out there that you're going to get clobbered. Lots of times it came from the kids at school. I guess that would be called bullying. But we made it. Somehow we made it through those times. But clobbering gives us an interesting picture. It's that somebody is pounding home the truth. How should a Christian respond to clobber scriptures? Now, with that title, where do you think the message is going? How should a Christian respond to clobber scriptures? There must be some scriptures that take place in God's Word that have the ability to clobber us. By the way, I also want you to write this down on your insert. March 13th, 2022. And leave a little bit of room around that one. Because I want you to remember this date. First and foremost, what are clobber scriptures? Clobber scriptures are scriptures that beat sinners over the head. Clobber scripture is a scripture that God uses to catch our attention. He doesn't want us to miss this, so he reinforces it. He clobbers us with these passages of Scripture. Most of the time, these Scriptures are referred to as clobber Scriptures by unbelievers. But you're in a church, and the pastor's preaching on clobbering Scriptures, so it's not always unbelievers talking about clobber Scriptures. It needs to be known in the church. So that's why you're getting it. Clobber scriptures point out to us what is pure evil. Clobber scriptures show us our sin. Did you have any clobber scriptures when you come to know the Lord? Was there a passage or a preacher preaching that it was like, for some reason, out of all the people that were there, he was picking you out? And he now reads a passage of Scripture that clobbers you over the head. It really gets your attention. You see that what that passage says and your life, he's now almost saying, this is what you're guilty of. This is the sin. These are the sins you're committing. That's clobber Scriptures. God is getting your attention for what is evil or what is sinful in this world, and what you are probably involved with. Those are clobber scriptures. Genesis chapter 19. Write that one down. Verses 1 through 11, this is the first group of clobber scriptures. Genesis chapter 19. Now the two angels came to Sodom. If you need to know those two angels or be introduced to them, you got to read ahead. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening as Lot was sitting at the gate of Sodom. Stop. What was Lot doing at the gate that enters into Sodom? It was a place where the townspeople, especially the men, would congregate, and they would at times pass judgment if judgment needed to be passed. That's where the functions of the town took place. You made the rules there. It's sort of like the local bar or the local beauty shop, whichever one fits you. But everything that took place in the town was figured out at that gate. Notice who is there. Lot is there. And it appears like Lot has now been assimilated into Sodom. He's feeling comfortable because he's sitting there with all the other men of Sodom. Lot was sitting at the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, these two angels, he rose to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. And he said, "Now behold, my lords, please turn aside into your servant's house and spend the night." Custom. Okay? That's what they did. "And wash your feet, then you may rise early and go on your way." They said, however, "No, but we will spend the night in the square." Yet he urged them strongly. So they turned aside to him and entered his house, and he prepared a feast for them and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. By the way, there is a reason. It was custom, but then Lot strongly urges them into his house. There is a reason for that. Verse 4. Before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, surrounded the house, both young and old, all the people from every quarter. And they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may have relations with them." Now you can see why Lot strongly urged them. But Lot went out to them at the doorway and shut the door behind him and said, "Please, my brothers, do not act wickedly." You see, Lot knows what's in store, what they have in mind. It was not that they were going to have a church function. He knew what was coming. "Now behold, I don't understand it. All I can say is this is what happened. Now behold, I have two daughters who have not had relations with man. Please let me bring them out to you and do to them whatever you like. Only do nothing to these men, inasmuch as they have come under the shelter of my roof." But they said, "Stand aside." Furthermore, they said, "This one came in as an alien, and already he is acting like a judge. Now we will treat you worse than them." So they pressed hard against Lot and came near to break the door. But the men reached out their hands and brought Lot into the house with them and shut the door. You get the impression there was nobody going to bust this door in, don't you? They struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves trying to find the doorway. That is one of the clobber scriptures. It is showing the detestable sin of mankind. It's a clobber scripture. Number 2, write this down, Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. Remember, when you write them down, you can always go back, check to see what's being preached, if it's in scripture. Verse 22, Leviticus 18. "You shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female. It is an abomination. You know, what appears to me to be the rule is that God is consistent. He's constant. If I bring that up, you're going to say, yes, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If God found a man laying with a man or a woman laying with a woman in the Old Testament as an abomination, he is still finding it an abomination. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13. You only got to turn a page. Leviticus 20, verse 13. If there is a man who lies with a male as those who lie with a woman, both of them have committed a detestable act. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood guiltiness is upon them. Clobber scriptures. Romans chapter 1. Let's go to the new covenant because that's one of mercy and grace. And let's pass this old law stuff that really seems to, God seems to be mean. Let's go to Romans chapter 1, verse 26. Verse 26, for this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. Wow, that doesn't seem like mercy and grace, does it? It seems like God is consistent. He's finding these sins detestable. So far, he's pretty consistent. The last clobber scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11. Such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Lord, give us insight. Give us wisdom. Lord, I'm praying that your word now penetrates our hearts where understanding takes place. Lord, let us rightly divide what you have said. Give us guidance and direction. In Jesus' name, amen. These clobber scriptures are mostly brought up to us by unbelievers. But in actuality, there are also believers who deal with these clobber scriptures. If you're in the church, you better be prepared to deal with these clobber scriptures, because with each and every passing day, the opposition grows and gets worse in regards to us looking at God's word and saying, this is the word of God. Are you willing to stand on God's word? Because the world is really coming at this. The world. The worldview. The worldview decides in our day, the world decides what is right and what is wrong. They do. The world decides what's right and what's wrong. The world decides what the standard is that we will live by. Remember, Jesus is the one who said, in this world, you will have an easy path. No, what he said was, in this world, you will have tribulation. It's because of the worldview. The world is the opposite view of what we see. The world has the opposite standard of what we have. They determine what's right and wrong. we stand on Scripture and God decides what's right and what's wrong. He decides what the standard is. The worldview decides what is socially acceptable in the world in which we live in today. And I don't want to say that's a false statement, because that is exactly the way that the world functions today. Is the people of the world decide what is socially acceptable. And by the way, don't sit there in a prideful, arrogant way, because we have missed the boat as Christians. We have not stood up when we should have stood up. And we have let them decide what is the standard. The worldview, the standard, is determined by the masses. The majority wins. It seems to me correctly, in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus is now preaching on a mountain. And what he says is, in paraphrasing, is this: there are two roads. There are two groups of people. There are a few people who follow this little pathway. It's a hard, rugged, steep little pathway, and there are not many on it. That pathway leads to paradise. But over here is a big, broad, smooth sidewalk. It's a much easier path. And many travel that road, which leads to destruction. You see, the world decides what the standard is for the world. What we see as ethical is decided upon by the world. The morals that we are supposed to have is decided upon by the world. That standard is determined by the people who are living at that moment in time. Just for a moment, think of your moms and dads. I wonder if their ethics, if their morals were any different than what we see today. I find this in older people, not you all, but older ones. And I find a common phrase, especially if they have like grandkids who are ready and are ready to have children born. They say, "I'm sure glad I'm not raising kids in this world today." I can remember grandparents who said, "I'm ready to get out of here." There's a reason for that. Opposition is between the worldview and God's standard. And if we're on God's side, the worldview opposes us. The worldview causes a chaotic state to take place. The worldview enters into the secular world between young people and old people, because old people have a different standard than younger people do. It's the way it is. And by the way, when these kids grow up, their standards will be different from the younger ones at that point in time. And these young ones are going to say, "I can't believe the world has come to this point." We're saying that now. So the worldview affects the secular, the young and the old. The worldview affects believers and unbelievers. Worldview invades believers and believers. Worldview comes into the world between liberal Christians and conservative ones. Worldview invades the space of liberal congregations versus conservative congregations. The worldview believes those clobber scriptures. Don't try to outthink me yet. The worldview believes in these scriptures that I read, that you wrote down. The worldview believes those passages are out of date and old-fashioned. That's what the world believes. The world believes that those passages, that scripture was given for a certain group of people at a certain time in history, and they do not apply any longer. The worldview takes these scriptures and say, you Christians misinterpreted what is being said in those passages of Scripture. You missed the boat. You don't have it right. And before you're going, well, it's plain as day, I'm telling you, they have pretty slick conversations. The worldview believes in these passages that Christians are callous, unloving, judgmental Pharisees. They do. They believe you are that way. Welcome to ministry. That's the worldview of Clobber Scriptures. Leesville Faith Community Chapel, do not dismiss this message. You as a Christian will deal with these Clobber Scriptures. Personally, you will deal with those Clobber Scriptures. You are either going to deal with them in your families or your friends. They will come at you because you are a prude. Who are you to tell me the life I'm living is wrong? By the way, just so we get on the right page, all the time that you're teaching and preaching to people, it is to be done in love. Speaking the truth in love. So if you're condemning them, you're on the wrong foot. You're to be speaking the truth in love. We'll get there in a minute. You will deal with this issue of Clobber Scriptures in this church. No, look at us. Legally, you will deal with these Clobber Scriptures. I'll tell you to pay attention. Legally, if you are a believer and you are standing on God's Word, you are going to deal legally with these Clobber Scriptures. Because that's where the world's going, I can tell you. Pastor, this is no big deal. We have been through times, difficult times before. This is no big deal. It's not really worth my time. I don't know these people. I don't have any conversations with these people. It doesn't apply to me. I'm telling you, this worldview is coming in fast. Don't be caught off guard. Do you stand on God's Word? Do you stand on God's Word? Amen. It's either yes or no. Do you stand on all of it? Yes. So if there's one verse that is God's Word, you stand on it. There's no wavering. If you are a Christian, you will view. Let me say it again. Involving these Clobber Scriptures, if you do nothing about it, you're agreeing with the world. Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. There is no middle ground. It's one or the other. And if you do nothing, you are in agreement. By the way, that's the reason that we have an abortion issue. Is because Christians just step back and let it happen. Don't let this happen. Standing on God's Word, you will lose friends and family. Are you ready for that? Because it will happen. Now the tough question. And don't look at me like, wow, this guy has really gone overboard today. Are you willing to go to jail by standing on God's Word? I'm telling you, this will come up. And for us young ones in the church, like me, we will face this. It's coming in that fast. Are you willing to go to jail for God's Word? Yeah. Well, someday I may get to visit you there. We may have the same cell. Jail's not a nice place. Are you willing to go there because you stand on this Word? The day will come when we'll find out. These Clobber Scriptures are something you will deal with. And I don't have number 1, 2, and 3 points. I have thoughts. about these clobber scriptures. So here's my first thought. Romans 3:23, most of you have it memorized. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Easy one to memorize. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For all, which means all. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, which means each and every person in this room has sinned and fallen short of His glory. Yes, that's what God's Word says. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now the clobber scriptures that we read, does God clobber? Yeah, He does. When you have wording like, will not inherit the kingdom of God, that's a clobber scripture. But I want you to go back home today and read those verses. What is God clobbering? He's clobbering sin. He is not clobbering the person. He's clobbering the sin. He finds these sins detestable. The clobber scriptures, God is clobbering the sin. He's not clobbering the person. He's clobbering the sin. He is not picking on an individual group of people. He's picking on the sin. He's saying, these sins, they ain't going to work. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If you fall in that category, raise your hand. And I'll wait till everybody's hand is up. Because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So what God's Word is telling me is that you all were sinners. You want me to rephrase that, don't you? Yeah. We were all sinners. Because all have sinned. That means all of us. Now let me ask you an easy question. Did you get clobbered? You got clobbered. There was something in God's Word that beat you in the head and said, pay attention. If you continue down this pathway, you are going to destruction. Something caught your attention. And it's amazing to me that people complain about clobber scriptures when each and every person in here has been clobbered. Do you look at it as being clobbered? I don't. I look at it as, thank you, Jesus. I needed discipline and you did it. Thank you for doing that. You see, God presented His standard to you and you accepted it. You repented. You got saved. And now you're growing in it. The worldview is saying these clobber scriptures are going against us. But the thing is, God's Word has not, will not change. And each and every person in here, if you are saved, you have been clobbered. God has gotten your attention. My second thought, Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, go to verse 27. By the way, just a hint of how to study your Bible. If in verse 27, your letters have a different font, they look funny, there's a reason for that. Because this passage is coming out of Old Testament. Verse 27, and He answered. If you want to know what the deal is, you got to read that. Verse 27, and He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And you must love your neighbor as yourself. And He said to him, you have answered correctly, but do this and you will live. But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, who is my neighbor? You see, I told you that the clobber scriptures clobber the sin, not the person. your responsibility as a Christian is to love your neighbor, but hate the sin. But you must love them. Now I want you to think about your neighbors for a second, because for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, so your neighbor has also sinned and fallen short of his glory, but you're still required to love him, to love her. That means your neighbors, your friends, your family, your co-workers, you have to love them if you're a Christian. My third thought, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we've been there, but I want to go back. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul is writing this letter to a pagan church. If you think churches today have troubles and issues, this church did also, at least as much as what we have. But I want to go back to verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Then he gives a list. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Thank you, Jesus, that there will be none of that in heaven. Amen? Verse 11, such were some of you. Mark this down on your insert, March 13th, 2022. How will Leesville Faith Community Chapel deal when this comes into our church? I've heard a lot of comments of what's going to happen when those people walk into our church. And for some of the answers I've heard, shame on you. Now, are you going to stand on God's word? All of it? Shame on you. If you're saying, when them people walk into this church, I'm walking out, shame on you. Paul gives a list here, and we may not be familiar with everything on this list. Fornicators. Know what that is? Fornicators. Fornicators are two people not married that have sexual intercourse. Now, I want you to think about this list. Okay? Idolater. An idolater is someone who places anything before the Lord. Pay attention to this list. Adulterer. Voluntary sexual intercourse between a married person and someone who is not their spouse. But it appears to me that God has now covered sexual sin in two words, fornicate and adulterer. He has covered the gamut. There's nothing else that he left out. He's got everything in these two. No matter what sexual perversion it is, God has them covered. Now think about this list. Effeminate. A man having characteristics and behaving traditionally as a woman. Homosexual. A person sexually attracted to a person of the same sex. Those detestable people. Oh, by the way, remember the list. Coveter. A coveter is someone who sees what you have and has to have it. Maybe I should rephrase that. A coveter is someone like us who sees what someone else has and we got to have it. A drunkard, easy one. Someone who has a habit of alcohol. It's like they're grasped by it and can't get away from it. A reviler is a person who criticizes in an abusive or angrily insulting manner. That one almost seems to be like someone who loses their temper. A swindler a fraudulent or deceptive action. What are we going to do at Faith Community Chapel when someone like that walks into this congregation? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, I ask you several times through this list to think about the list. I did that on purpose. Is there anything on that list that you have fallen to? Now, don't tell me. Don't raise your hand. Don't say, yeah, I have this. You don't need to do that. But I'm going to step out on a limb here. For all have sinned. By the way, the worldview looks at it this way. If you're an adult and you're not married and you have those urges, what is wrong with me and this woman getting together having sex? The worldview says, as long as no one gets hurt, there's nothing wrong with it. By the way, I ask you to think about this list because one of them on there is an idolater. Surely, we have never had that problem. Surely, at some point in our lives, all of us did. Because if you put anything before the Lord, you fall into that one. You see, Paul dealt with this same thing. But look at verse 11. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. Such were some of you. I think we could probably rephrase that. We all fell into this at some point in time. We all had sin. But such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means you were on this list. But you ain't anymore. You see, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What's going to happen at Faith Community Chapel when those people walk into this church? My fourth thought. If all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, how were you received to God? It's a good thing He loved you. That while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. What was the church like that you were in? Most people get saved in church. By the way, most people do not get saved from TV preachers. They get saved because they're in a church. Luke 10 says that Jesus came to seek and to save what was lost. Praise God that you sought to be saved because you were lost. At Leesville Faith Community Chapel, when one of those people walk into this church, we will receive them with love. Can you think of a better place to be? My fifth thought, and we're going to get closing here in a second. God's Word, not society, establishes our standard. God's Word, not the masses, determines our standard. It follows God. At Leesville Faith Community Chapel, we will preach the Word. We will preach the truth in season and out of season, regardless of the outcome or the cost. I fully intend this to happen. When the pastor gets hauled off to jail, they better bring a bus. Some of you are not even smiling now. I better not be going by myself. We will stand on God's Word. That should put a smile on your face. And if it doesn't, you're on the wrong side. Smile! A day is coming when two men will walk into this church. They will be holding hands. There is a day coming when two women will walk into this church holding hands. If they are seeking the Lord, we will love them and welcome them here. if they are here to tear our church apart or to tear God to pieces, they will be asked to leave. If they're coming in here seeking help, seeking the Lord, they will be loved and they'll be welcomed here. I've really made you raise your hand a couple times, and I've really looked right at you and said, what's your personal response to this question? And I'm going to ask that you would do that now. But you don't even have to get out of your pew to do it. I'm just going to ask, as I give you a challenge, if you're willing to accept the challenge, that you would simply just stand in your pew. Here's the challenge. Will you be in prayer asking God for wisdom of what to do when someone approaches you about these clobber scriptures? Will you pray that you love people? You hate the sin, but will you pray, Lord, help me to love these people? Are you willing to pray that they repent and turn and to give their life to Jesus Christ? If you're willing to accept that challenge, would you please stand? This is between you and the Lord. Don't stand up if you're not going to do this. I'm telling you, you will face this in the near future.